Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Today, we are going to be breaking down day 16 of Packers training camp. Where does the time go? We have two training camp practices left. Today on Tuesday is the final one that's not a joint practice. It's the last practice open to the public that is just the Green Bay Packers, the penultimate training camp practice, if you will. And then on Thursday, the final training camp practice, joint practice against the Seattle Seahawks. And then that's it. There likely will be a couple practices that are open to the media next week. That's usually how it goes. I'll still be able to cover those in totality. And then quickly thereafter, they'll get into regular season schedule, which if you're unfamiliar, the only thing that media is able to see is them stretching and then usually about 10 minutes of kind of individual work. And then on Fridays, you can't even see the individual work. You can just go for stretching. So really the only thing that is worthwhile is attendance. You can't get anything else out of it. And with that attendance, of course, every beat writer is tweeting out within about 5 seconds who is attending and who is not, who is practicing, who is not, et cetera. So there's not a ton that you get out of those. So we've only got a few of these practices left that are actually worthwhile and that we can actually glean information from. So I will be attending them and getting you all the information that I can, just like we're going to be going over today for, again, day 16 of Packers training camp. Before we get there, I want to tell you about Luigi's Frozen Pizza. Here's the thing. You might say, Andy, what makes you such an expert on frozen pizzas? Well, I will tell you, I was somebody who enjoyed the process to begin with of going through and trying the, I don't know, a bazillion different frozen pizza, you know, brands and types that are out there. It was kind of like a little journey for me of like, let's see what this tastes like. What is this one? And I ended up disappointed the vast majority of the time until I came upon Luigi's Frozen Pizzas. And then that was it. That was the end of my journey because I never needed another frozen pizza ever again other than Luigi's. I've tried, I think, every single brand of Luigi's now, and I've tried every single flavor and variety, and they are all incredible, all amazing ingredients. So end your frozen pizza journey with getting a Luigi's Frozen Pizza, and you'll never be the same ever again, just like I have not been. And that's how that beautiful relationship started between Pack-A-Day and Luigi's Frozen Pizzas. Luigi'sPizza.com, and of course, follow them on social media at Luigi's Pizza. All right, Packers had a couple transactions prior to the start of practice. Two players no longer on the team. Garnett Hollis, who was a defensive back. He was playing safety. He was initially brought in as a corner, but had patrolled the back end of the defense. He is released. It didn't really feel like he fit in that spot, and they brought in a safety instead. We'll get to that in just a moment. And then they waived injured Keith Randolph. Just yesterday, when I did my 53-man roster prediction, I did have Randolph on the practice squad. I thought he was having a really nice camp. Obviously, at the time, did not know that he was injured. He does get that injury designation, so they'll have to work out some sort of injury settlement with him long-term. But disappointing end to his Packers campaign, and they did bring in a new defensive tackle in his stead as well. The two new players, defensive tackle Devontae O'Malley, and then safety Jalen Simpson. Simpson's an interesting one, just a fourth-round pick last season. He was somebody coming out of college that, you know, really felt like he was going to be able to find a role in the NFL. I mean, the fact that you have a fourth round pick from 2024 that's just chilling out there and is able to be signed on August 18th of 2025 is kind of remarkable, to be honest. We'll see if he can kind of make up some serious ground in a very short period of time, probably practice squad at best. And he's, you know, he's got a very uphill climb at this point to try to make any of the roster, whether it be practice squad or active. But crazier things have happened. There have been players that have come in the last week or two of training camp and have actually made the team. So you never quite know. Maybe Jalen Simpson or Devontae O'Malley will be able to add, you know, their name to that list of players that was barely on the roster before making the actual 53. But it's definitely some heavy lifting. But those are your two newest Green Bay Packers. Again, Garnett Hollis and Keith Randolph no longer on the team. As far as practice goes, it was a crazy rainy and windy day all throughout practice. it was rainy sort of ahead of time. And then as I'm driving in, things had cleared up and I'm like, oh, this is kind of great. It was cool. It was a little bit breezy, but it felt like it was going to be a really nice practice where, you know, it wasn't going to be 90 degrees along the sidelines or anything like that. Had kind of like I think Paul Bredel actually joked along the sidelines of like, you know, it's a beautiful October day out there. That's what it felt like. And then all of a sudden the skies just opened up and it proceeded to downpour really from about the time they started doing team drills to the end of practice. And thankfully, the football gods were very kind, at least to us in the media, as just as it was time to leave, because we actually got to sit under the fan area, which was sheltered, which is usually not the case because the fans are there, but this was not an open practice. So we got to actually sit there. Are we all incredibly soft and sitting under the thing? I will say there were a few hardcore ones that were still out there and doing some stuff in the rain. Appreciate the effort there. And the lucky part is that, you know, they actually had the practice right in front of that area. Usually it's not. A lot of times it's down on the other end as well. I don't think that was done on purpose. I think that was just happenstance, but it worked out well. And then as the, you know, practice ended, the rain stopped and I was able to get to the car easily because that's what I know you all care about. But it was just, it was nice of the football gods to take care of us in that particular moment after last year where it downpoured and we all got insanely, insanely soaked. But from a more important standpoint, the Packers got some really good work in the conditions. Listen, you don't know what conditions are going to come up through the course of the season, whether it's rain, wind, sleet, hail, you know, getting a snowstorm, incredibly cold weather. You just don't know in any given moment. So it's always good to kind of just fight through some of the adversity of some different conditions. And for the most part, I thought Green Bay handled it very well. But I mean, at moments, it was really, really, really coming down, like aggressively so. And, you know, no sign or no decision to move into the Don Hutson Center. They kept it practicing outside. Kudos to them, and got some really good work in despite the conditions that were going on out on the field. The big news of the day is the players that were not practicing. There were more than a handful of players that were new to the injury report from the last time they practiced, which was the joint practice in Indianapolis last week. Kenny Clark did not practice with a back issue. That's not great news. LVN did not practice with a back issue. That's not great news. Aaron Banks did not practice with a back issue. And here's the thing. That's the third time that he's missed some time with that back injury. He's had it a couple times already. He's come back from it. I don't know if this is just kind of a little bit of rest here and they wanted to get him to make sure that, you know, this doesn't linger or whatever, but that's still not great that this is his third time missing practice because of a back issue. Jacob Monk was out with a hamstring injury. And then, of course, Marshawn Lloyd, Baron Sorrell, and Omar Brown were new to the injured list as well, even though we knew that going in based on Matt LaFleur the other day in his press conference. But those three did practice last week against Indianapolis. Those were three new additions to the injury report as well. In addition, you also had Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Nate Hobbs, Xavier McKinney, Zane Anderson, Colin Oliver, John Williams, and Savion Williams all not practicing. 16 players in total, including what, your defensive tackle, one, a starting defensive end, your starting left guard, your probably what, eighth offensive lineman, number two running back, your fourth defensive end, probably what, sixth safety, starting wide receiver, rotational wide receiver, starting corner, number one safety, best defensive player in Xavier McKinney, backup safety, backup defensive end, backup offensive lineman, backup wide receiver. That is a ton of players missing from practice, and it clearly had some level of effect of just so many guys missing out there. It's wild that they're at that level of injury at this point. Now, again, some of these might hopefully be nothing, but we already know that some of them are something when it comes to Marshawn Lloyd and Baron Sorrell. But as far as Kenny Clark, LVN, Aaron Banks, Jacob Monk, we're going to have to hear from Matt LaFleur tomorrow to get a better understanding maybe of a few of those injuries. There was some good news when it came to the actual injury report. Xavier McKinney, first of all, was doing some work off to the side with a trainer, had his helmet on, was backpedaling and going through some kind of what I would say are like light safety drills. That's a good sign. He had not been doing that at all. That's usually, again, we talk about kind of the ramp up period of you're not doing anything. You're working on the exercise bikes. You're working off to the side with a trainer. You're working off to the side with a trainer and doing individual drills. You're doing individual drills with the team, but not team. Then you're getting reintegrated into team, and then you're a full participant, or maybe a little bit more of a limited participant, but you get the point. That's sort of what it feels like is kind of the ramp up period. This feels like a step in the positive direction for Xavier McKinney and a great sign. Again, everyone expects him to be ready for week one. That's been the constant communication basically since the injury happened, but a really good sign for Xavier McKinney overall that he's able to get out there and do some work off to the side. In addition, Dontayvion Wicks and Savion Williams were doing a little bit of running along the sidelines. I had not seen that before. So a slight positive as well for those two. And hopefully that means that they're going to be ramping up sooner rather than later and getting to the point where maybe they're at least doing some individual drills here. Romeo Doubs returned to practice and practiced in full individual team everything. So that's a great sign. And then, of course, the big one, Jordan Love did practice and he had a wrap on his left thumb. And then he also had, because it was raining and that thing was wrapped up and they didn't want it to get wet, they also had a plastic bag over his entire left, like forearm, or like, I guess not forearm, but like the front of his arm. So yeah, that was a wild scene just for him. They had to structure a lot of different things specifically for Jordan, but he was able to go out there and practice. They were very creative with how they kind of put the practice plan together and some unique ways to be able to get him to throw. I thought they did a great job with that, but it was great to see Jordan out there in some capacity, throwing with his teammates, doing 7-on-7s, and making it so that he can still go through and practice, despite the fact that he just had surgery less than a week ago as that practice was taking place. So like I said, some good injury news, but a lot of not great injury news as well. As far as substitutes go for some of those injured players, Malik Willis was in on 11-on-11s for Jordan Love at quarterback. The offensive line was Rashid Walker at left tackle, Jordan Morgan in at left guard for Aaron Banks, Jenkins at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle. Colby Wooden and Carl Brooks got time at the defensive tackle spot with the ones for Kenny Clark, and then Kingsley Enagbare was in there as the starting defensive end opposite Rashawn Gary with LVN being out. Let's get to our player of the day. I know that this is probably lame and not exactly what you want to hear from a practice report, but I'm just telling the truth. It has to be Brandon McManus again. The rain was brutal. It was coming down hard. There was a stiff breeze, especially going against him, and he drilled all 6 field goals. No issue whatsoever. Despite the really terrible conditions, he goes out and drills 6 kicks. And that's perfection. That's exactly what he's been doing basically all training camp long. And he deserves the game ball in the day. If you have terrible conditions, it's going to affect you to a larger extent, and you still go out and do your job at the highest of levels, that you're getting my game ball. So yeah, I'm going with him for my game ball. Brandon McManus, 6 for 6 on the day in some very, very crappy conditions. However, Mr. McManus, you are not off the hook entirely. The Packers today worked on their emergency punter situations. At least that's what it felt like. I don't think Daniel Whalen was hurt, although that would be like the next thing, right? It's like even the punter's hurt. Our pets' heads are falling off. Hopefully Daniel Whalen's not hurt. My guess is if they were planning on Daniel Whalen punting and then he couldn't, they probably just would have went with the jugs machine and had that thing, you know, punt that thing way up in the air and not have Brandon McManus do it. It felt like this was in particular hey, let's get him a little bit of work in case there would be an emergency where Whalen got injured in the game and we need Brandon McManus to punt. So Brandon McManus punted on more than a handful of different punt situations, and it did not go great. He did connect on one at the end. I think his very last one he got a hold of, and that was a pretty impressive punt. The rest were not pretty. So heck of a kicker. He's been amazing. His punting needs a lot of work. And if Green Bay needs an emergency punter, I don't know, maybe try a Bo Melton there as well, because it was not the prettiest thing in the world from Brandon McManus. But as a kicker, he was perfect, 6 for 6. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already underway and college football is here, so do not miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. an absolute blast winning last year on Prize Picks, and now I'm gearing up for another epic run in 2025. I've already got a couple deep sleepers in mind, and I'm going to be very, very high on Tucker Kraft this upcoming season as well. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports. And there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself. But I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. My play of the day was Jordan Love to Matthew Golden. This was a play in red zone 7-on-7s. So 7-on-7 is exactly what it sounds like, right? No offensive line, no pass rush. Matt LaFleur hates them notoriously, but with Jordan not wanting to be in any danger with that thumb, not needing anything around him, they go 7-on-7 instead of traditional 11-on-11. They do red zone defense. And on this particular play, Matthew Golden runs a corner route into the literal corner of the end zone. And it's, I believe, Javon Bullard and Evan Williams were the two that were in coverage. Williams and Bullard played it right. Like, they both were on him and they used the sideline to their advantage. Matthew Golden could not have been any more in the corner if he possibly tried. I mean, it was the very back corner of the end zone, literally where the two sides meet, in that peak of the corner. Both feet get in. And when I say that Jordan Love, you know, it's a little bit old and cliche or whatever, but with Jordan Love could not have handed the ball to him any better, man, this is one I legitimately mean. He could not have gone up there, ran to him, and handed him the ball any better than where he put it. He lofts it in that very corner of the end zone where only Golden could get it, above and beyond the two safeties, and Golden gets the outstretched arms out in that very back corner, gets the 2 feet in, and it's a touchdown. A beautiful play from Golden to get to that place, to get to the corner of the end zone, and then be able to track the ball, come down with the catch, get both feet in. And for Jordan Love, a picturesque, perfect pass in red zone drills with good coverage. This is one of those ones where it's a lot of positives all the way around. Williams and Bullard could not have done much differently, at least at first glance, on that particular play. Matthew Golden ran the route perfectly and came up with the big catch in the corner of the end zone, and Jordan Love with an A++++ throw on that particular one. Good stuff all the way around, and certainly deserving of the play of the day. As far as Jordan Love goes, he was limited to 7-on-7 work only. They did a lot of 7-on-7 work. He could not do team because he couldn't get under center, and you're not going to snap it to him in shotgun. So it was only 7-on-7 drills and then individual drills for Jordan on the day. And they skipped out on a lot of 11-on-11s. But when the 11-on-11s were out there, full team drills, it was Malik Willis and not Jordan Love. We mentioned the wrap on his hand, the bag over his hand to make sure that it didn't get wet. He was taking snaps off of a stool. So instead of taking it, like he could just take it from the stool with his right hand and then get into his drop and go that way. They came up with some creative stuff to make sure that he was ready to go. One of his first plays in 7-on-7 was a deep shot to Mecole Hardman. And Mecole Hardman had a step, probably a step and a half. I think it was on Valentine on that particular play. And he was open deep. And Love just let that ball hang up a little bit. Now, this was one of his first throws coming back from the injury. And it was, again, conditions were brutal at the time. It hung up in the wind just a little bit. Even then, it was close to getting there. And it just allowed Valentine, more than anything, to get back into coverage, make up that ground, and then bat that ball away at the very last second. So good recovery from Valentine. That's one that in normal conditions, you'd be like, yeah, Jordan absolutely has to make and probably should have tried, you know, not tried, but should have got it there anyway. But easier said than done in those conditions. And good job again by Valentine getting back in the play and batting that one ultimately away. Then he had a bullet over the middle to Malik Heath with Keyshawn Nixon in coverage. That was an impressive throw. Then he followed it up a little bit later with a seam throw to Mecole Hardman that, when I say was well covered, it was well covered. You know, Hardman had no chance at anything here. He was basically triangulated by three different defenders, not to mention that Love overthrew it a little bit, probably trying to overcook it, getting it into a very, very tight space. And by overthrowing it, it fell into the waiting arms of Javon Bullard, who came up with the pick. An ill-advised throw, to say the least. That's a double whammy, a bad decision and a bad ball. Like, even if it, you know, if it had been on Mecole Hardman, still might have been picked, certainly was not getting caught. And he had the bad decision and the bad throw on that particular play. So that's a hang with him a little bit for Jordan. He'll learn from that one, I'm sure. But that was a tough force up the middle to Mecole Hardman, picked off by, again, Javon Bullard. Then had a check down to Josh Jacobs that was nearly intercepted. Okay, before you start panicking, this was not on Jordan at all. He checks it down to Josh Jacobs. Jacobs bobbles it. It goes right into the hands of Tyron Hopper. And like, Hopper is surprised by it. And Jacobs basically just like chops it out, like chops it right out of his hands. Like, nope, you're not having that. Like, Hopper all of a sudden is like, what? He had the ball in his hands and he like kind of caught him by surprise. And Jacobs just literally like punches it right out. And it was an incomplete pass. So yes, it should have been a catch, then should have been an interception. And it ultimately, I guess, compromised as an incomplete pass. But that was kind of a funny play, but definitely nothing on Jordan. One that Josh Jacobs has to hold on to there. Love then came over the middle to Tucker Kraft for a nice pickup. Then that was the Matthew Golden perfect touchdown in the back corner. The play, I think it was the play after that, he hit Matthew Golden for a touchdown again. Now, 7-on-7, no pass rush. Jordan had a good chunk of time in the pocket, kind of rolled out of the pocket a little bit, pump faked again, and then kind of what I would say is threw open Matthew Golden. Hadn't had good coverage, and he just put it in a spot where only Golden could go get it, and Golden went and got it. It's a tough one for Haddon in that situation, who covered Golden well for the vast majority of the play, even had him on that final play, and then Golden just went up and got it anyway, and Love put it in just a picture-perfect spot. Another beautiful connection between Love and Golden, which hopefully we hear a ton for the foreseeable future, not just this year, but in many years to come. Love then was almost picked by Tyron Hopper. He was going over the middle to Luke Musgrave, and I couldn't tell if he left it just a little bit behind or what the exact situation was, but Hopper jumped it, had the opportunity to pick it off, and just clanged off of his hands. Incomplete. Hopper was this close to having two interceptions, and instead he ultimately ended up with zero. And then on the final play in 7-on-7 still, and actually the final play of practice, Love tried to force one over the middle. I believe that one was to Tucker Kraft. Evan Williams jumped it and picked off that play. In totality, Love was 16 of 24, three touchdowns, two interceptions in 7-on-7 work. You can argue in 7-on-7s, you know, you don't want to be making those mistakes and, you know, just making sure that you're very clean with the ball. What I will say for Jordan is the biggest takeaway here is in 16 of 24. It's not the three touchdowns. It's not the two interceptions. Just the fact that he was out there practicing in and of itself is a very encouraging sign. Allows you to go out there and practice at a certain level with a certain intensity. And yeah, two throws that he really would have liked to have had back. The deep shot to Mecole Hardman and then the final play to Evan Williams. But again, he has not played that way at all throughout camp. He's taken very great care of the football. And this, to me, probably had a lot to do with just, you know, having a week off, working through some unique situations with that left thumb. Nothing that I would be concerned about long term. And he did have some very nice throws. A little bit more up and down from Jordan today than we have been used to. He's been pretty solid and consistent as of late, but this one was a little bit more of some high highs and a couple low lows mixed in. Some other noteworthy players. Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs had a tough start to the day. There was one that looked like it bounced off his hands early and then on a crosser definitely went off of his hands. Later in practice, he had another one that it was very outstretched and Jordan blamed himself for missing that one, but it did technically hit Doubs in the hands. That would have been a hang with him for Romeo if you're going to blame him on that one too much, but you know, just had a tough start to the day, but also had a lot of catches. I mean, he probably had 5-6 catches on the day, including a really beautiful deep back shoulder fade that he ran. I think it was Valentine in coverage, but don't quote me on that one. And then Malik Willis found him on that back shoulder one. Beautiful throw, beautiful adjustment by Romeo Doubs. And he did have some big plays as well, but unfortunately a couple drops mixed in there also. And then the last player that I want to talk about from a player standpoint is Jamon Johnson. Jamon Johnson had a really rough first preseason game, bounced back pretty significantly in preseason game two and looked so much better. And then he stacked that success today, had a big pass breakup on Will Shepard down the left sideline, ran with him through the deep crosser and was able to really get in the way of that pass and make it so that it fell harmlessly incomplete. A couple big plays from Jamon Johnson, much better than that week one performance. And we'll see if he can earn his way on to the Packers practice squad. Some other noteworthy plays. Edgerrin Cooper had a similar play that we just talked about, but he was covering Tucker Kraft and it was Malik Willis at quarterback. And Cooper almost had the opportunity at the interception, but did have a very clean pass breakup on the play. A couple other just kind of mental lapses. There was a fumbled exchange by Green Bay. And then there was also a false start. So just some of these things that you want to see start ironing themselves out and not be an issue as you get ready for Detroit here coming up just in a few very short weeks, not even at this point in time. A couple of big runs by Josh Jacobs and Chris Brooks. Now, I'll be fully transparent on the Josh Jacobs runs. I couldn't tell if it would have been something where the defender maybe somewhere would have had him dead to rights, but they let the play go. But he had great burst on the sideline, got through the hole, and then looked explosive against the safeties as well. So a couple of nice runs by Josh Jacobs. Brooks had one off the right side running behind Sean Ryan and Zach Tom. So kudos on the blocks as well as Brooks finding it, making the most of that particular play. Carrington Valentine was all over a trick play. I wish I could tell you the exact logistics of said trick play, but I am spoken to secrecy, but that would not be one that I would probably recommend running in the rain. And again, it was Carrington Valentine that was all over that particular trick play. Devontae O'Malley, in his debut, got a sack of Taylor Algirsma. Nixon did get the primary time as a punt returner, which is interesting. And then last but not least, Micah Robinson was ahead of Kamal Haddon per Bill Huber. Good catch on that from Bill. I had Micah Robinson making it as my final corner. We'll see if he can kind of continue that upward trajectory, but was getting in the game today prior to what Kamal Haddon was, which was a change. Prior, it was Haddon getting those reps first. Today, it was Micah Robinson getting it. What's next for Green Bay? Training camp practice on Tuesday, number 17, the penultimate practice of Packers training camp. Hope to see you guys out there. I will be there. I'll do the live show after. And then the following day, Wednesday morning, will be the episode with Justice Mosqueda. So you can look forward to that. I'll add one other thing before we get out of here. Right now, Jaire Alexander is fighting through injury with the Baltimore Ravens. And Jim Harbaugh said this has been something he's been fighting on for a while, going back even to last year. So the stuff that's been bothering Jaire is rearing its ugly head again. What I want to be clear on is this is not a victory lap or anything like that. I am cheering on Jai. I hope he has an incredible year in Baltimore. And, you know, he wanted to stay in Green Bay, just unfortunately was not able to stay healthy. Well, now the Baltimore Ravens are going through some of those injury concerns with Jaire as well. Like I said, I want him to do well. It's just the only reason I'm bringing it up as noteworthy is there will be people that say, look at Goody, let Jaire Alexander go, and now he's a first team All-Pro. You know, it could go the other way too, and Jaire Alexander could be hurt, and Goody could look like very smart by saying, hey, we didn't want him back. We just couldn't trust the injuries. So it's again, worth noting on how Jaire performs this year, just to kind of get an evaluation of that decision. But I'll say this right now. I said all along, it was the right decision at the time based on what they knew at the time. But even this already, the fact that he's still dealing with lingering injury issues from these past, you know, at least last year, it's just a sign that, you know, this is probably what it is for Jaire the rest of the way. And I feel for him. I want him to go out and crush it in Baltimore, but the injury issues have really gotten in the way. Yeah. So again, we'll kind of keep an eye on that as the season goes along. Hopefully he goes out and dominates other than that game against Green Bay, but right now still dealing with some of those lingering injury issues, which has unfortunately plagued him for far too much of his career. All right. That is going to do it for me today. Again, I'll be out at practice Tuesday and I will have the live show immediately following that practice. Looking forward to that. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Craig. I'll see you guys tomorrow or later today, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.